Chapter 13. The second we knew the witches were completely gone, I had Leah help me turn back into a human. Then we walked back to our Hummer, where I tossed on a simple pair of gray sweatpants and a plain black t-shirt, and then hopped in the car.
Did you see how that guy's head exploded back there?
Naomi asked with a gleeful smile, as I turned the key and brought the vehicle to life.
That was badass.
Not as badass as what Carter did to the Coven Mother,
Leah said, before she furrowed her blonde eyebrows.
Are we sure she's dead, though?
No, I admitted with a frown. But I knocked her through a fucking wall and into a raging ice-cold river, so if she is somehow still alive after all that, the old witch deserves to survive for now.
If she's dead, does that mean the ceremony will be impossible to complete?
Maybe. It all depends on whether or not the Coven Mother decided to share the spell with anyone else in our coven.
It'd probably still be wise to try and figure out where the ceremony is going to take place, I said, as we drove down the slumbering streets of Cincinnati. Are you sure you don't remember anything? Surely they must have given you some sort of clues as to where they were going to unleash the creature.
Not off the top of my head.
The witch pursed her lips. Fuck. If there's even a 1% chance your coven would unleash Ichthigo tomorrow night, we need to stop them.
What about meeting places?
Leah asked with a tilt of her head.
You mentioned you would... spellcasters always seemed to meet in strange places where nobody else would think to look for you. Where could this ceremony possibly take place?
Let's see.
Naomi trailed off as she looked up at the ceiling.
Well, obviously there was the cemetery and the pork packing plant. Emphasis on the was. Sometimes we've met in that abandoned factory over on 6th Ave, and then there's the forest up to the north or the shipping yard at the bend of the Ohio if we're feeling particularly risque.
And that's it?
We mainly met at the cemetery.
Naomi shrugged.
That was our main area, and everything else was reserved for special ceremonies.
Well, and that at least narrows down our options, I said, as I stroked my chin in thought. At least we have some idea on where to start looking. What time specifically do you think the ceremony will be taking place, if you had to guess?
Come on, Carter. You should be able to guess.
6:06?
That's the closest you can get to 666 on a clock.
Between 3 and 4 a.m.,
Leah interjected.
The witching hour.
See?
Naomi laughed and then nudged Leah's shoulder.
This one gets it.
That's only because I've watched so many Halloween movies.
The blonde woman shrugged.
I'm nowhere near the occult expert Janine is.
Don't apologize,
Naomi said with a half smirk.
That's pretty much the only genre of films I even watch, for obvious reasons. The more blood splattered and freaky, the better.
Leah trailed off.
I'm sorry to say I'm more of a Hocus Pocus and Beetlejuice kind of girl. Gory stuff doesn't really do it for me.
To be fair, you have enough of that in your real life.
Exactly! I watch movies to escape reality, not get reminded of it. Plus, once you've done your fifth or sixth dissection, the idea of watching somebody cut up people doesn't sound very appealing.
See, you say you watch horror movies to escape,
Naomi said with a devilish grin.
I watch them for inspiration.
Leah and I exchanged a somewhat concerned look. But then I simply laughed it off. Please tell me you've done the sleeping bag kill, I said with a half-joking tone.
From Friday the 13th? Of course I've done that one before, that's child's play.
Oh, speaking of child's play, I waggled my eyebrows as I looked back at the woman in the mirror. You ever filled an airbag full of nails?
Bride of Chucky?
The witch smirked.
I'm afraid I've never had the opportunity. I did use my telekinetic magic to throw somebody's head through a TV once, though.
Oh, did you say welcome to primetime, bitch, when you did it?
I couldn't remember the line word for word. It was still fun, regardless.
Fun?
Leah shuddered.
Right.
You probably think I'm a sadist, don't you?
Naomi leaned over Leah's shoulder from behind.
I mean, I am, but not in the way you're probably thinking. I don't like to be tied down and whipped or anything like that. I just enjoy killing people in creative ways.
Don't we all? There's just something so satisfying about going theatrical with a kill. Especially when it's somebody you hate with all your heart.
Right?
Naomi gasped, and malicious glee glinted in her wide, dark eyes.
It's the best feeling in the fucking world.
We continued to swap gnarly kill stories as we drove through the streets, and the sun began to rise. Finally, we arrived back at Cincy's Jewel, where we were greeted by Paul inside the booth. What the hell are you doing here so early? I asked, as I pulled up to the attendance booth. It's like 5 in the morning.
Early to bed, early to rise.
Paul muttered as he reached for the button to let us in.
Some shit like that. Tony's already here, too, and some guy who's been carrying out trash bags that are strikingly human-shaped.
The hex worked, Paul? I smiled at the old man. Naomi was able to cast it, so we had some of those cultist fucks over here to come test it out.
So we don't have to worry about getting into scuffles with wizards anymore?
Paul raised an eyebrow.
Whew, that's music to my ears, boss.
Well, we don't have to worry about them attacking us here. Anywhere else is fair game, though, so make sure you keep that amulet near you at all times.
Yeah, you got it, Panther Man,
the old man said with a salute before he pressed the button and raised the barrier arm. Just then, Leah's phone let out a sharp ping, and she pulled it out.
Seriously?
The polywarm woman sighed as we passed into the parking lot.
I guess Becca and Valerie are going to be here in a few hours for their orientation.
Ah, shit, I forgot that was today. Why the fuck are they up already?
Valerie.
Leah scoffed.
That's why. I swear that woman was a drill sergeant in a previous incarnation.
Fuck. I grumbled as I rubbed my eyes. Text them back and say we need at least a few hours to sleep first.
It's been kinda a long night.
Leah read aloud as she fiddled on her phone.
Could you swing by at, like, noon?
She sent the message with a digital beep as I pulled into a parking space and killed the engine on the yellow Hummer. Then, as we all slipped out of the car, I noticed a white utility van parked near the back entrance of Cincy's Jewel. The van's back doors were wide open, and on the side there was a vinyl decal that read, Dan's Landscaping Service. One man's trash is another man's compost. Fuck, that was dark. But it was also funny as hell. The three of us walked into the building and then strode into the main lobby of the lounge. Tony and Ada were both standing there with another man who appeared to be in his late 40s or early 50s, with greased back brown hair and stubble on his face that would make Homer Simpson jealous. He wore a simple red polo shirt with a Dan's Landscaping Service logo on the upper right, and then a pair of baggy jeans covered his lower half. Ada was counting out $100 bills as we approached, so it was pretty obvious who this guy was.
$4,900 and... there. $5,000 even.
Oh, thank you for your business as always, Ada.
The man nodded as he took the cash.
Thank you for being the best cleaner in the Midwest.
Ada smiled at the guy.
I don't know what I'd do without you.
You'd have another cleaner.
The man shrugged.
Probably one who'd charge you extra for each and every blood stain left on the carpet.
That's why... Oh...
Ada said, as her green eyes darted over in our direction.
Joe, this is Carter. He's the one who I've been telling you about.
Nice to meet you, I said, as I extended my hand to the cleaner. Sorry about all these messes we keep making for you.
You kidding me?
Joe smirked while he shook my hand furiously.
I could stay afloat with you as my only client. Keep those messes coming.
Well, I'm sure there will be more. Probably even in the coming days, if all goes as planned.
Well, shit,
Joe said with a whistle, and then he shot me finger guns.
Keep me in the loop, will you? Until then, toodles.
Bye, Joe,
Ada said, as the cleaner headed to the back exit.
Be extra careless with those bodies. They belong to a bunch of psycho assholes, so they deserve the worst treatment.
He seems like a nice guy, I noted as the cleaner left.
Does he really turn the bodies into compost?
He does.
Ada smiled.
He has to make sure he has truth in advertising, love.
That's actually genius,
the biology major said as her disturbed expression turned more thoughtful.
I bet it makes for some really good fertilizer.
His business is off the charts, especially now that Carter's around.
Let's hope it stays outside the lounge, though,
Tony added.
I heard the hex is going to keep the bad guys out, right?
Pretty much, I said with a nod. We tested every single entry method that our enemies could try, and none of them worked. Naomi's spell is airtight.
Speaking of which...
Ada sing-songed.
I see the gorgeous goth is still with you. Gorgeous goth. I'm totally stealing that. And yes, I'm back. My former sisters did not welcome me back with the open arms I thought they would. Oh, love.
Ada opened up her arms and motioned for the witch to give her a hug.
I'm so sorry.
Naomi cautiously stepped into Ada's embrace, and the second they had their arms around each other, Ada licked her lips and shot me a wink. Naomi is part of our team now. I explained as the two released their embrace. She's officially on Team Carter.
Oh, thank fuck.
Tony sighed and rubbed a hand over his bald head.
I was worried she was going to try to come back for revenge or something, and our security systems are totally not prepared to handle a bunch of magical witches.
I'm assuming Janine headed back to the nightclub?
I said through a yawn. To get some shut-eye before class?
She's actually in your office,
Ada explained, as she pointed to the back.
She felt like it would be wiser to crash on the love seat in there instead of going back to our unprotected sleeping quarters.
We're gonna have you repeat that spell on Ada's nightclub, I said to Naomi. That's where we all technically live. This place is just my business.
Can you?
The witch said, and then she covered her mouth with her hand as she let out a long yawn.
Is there a place I can sleep here, though? I'm pretty fucking exhausted.
Exhausted? Tony teased the woman. The day's just getting started.
Maybe for you, but we've been awake all night, and Becca and Valerie are coming by for their orientation at noon.
Oh, I'd completely forgotten about that. I suppose that's enough time to whip together some basic paperwork before they get here.
You're not tired? You've been up this whole time, too.
I'm a demon, love. We live for the nights.
I've got a chair in my office, but there's also a bunch of these booths you could theoretically sleep on, I said as I turned to Naomi. I guess it depends on how comfortable you want to be.
I call that one,
Naomi declared as she pointed to a nearby U-shaped booth. The witch strutted over to the booth and then plopped down on the leather seat, where she stretched out and curled her body along the shape of the makeshift bed.
I guess that works for me, too,
Leah said with a shrug, before she gestured to another booth and turned to me.
You want that one over there?
Fine with me.
I nodded.
We'll try to keep it down,
Ada promised.
I mainly just have paperwork to do anyways.
And I'm just running some background checks,
Tony added.
On Becca and Valerie? I'm the one who recommended them, Tony.
You can never be too sure.
The chief security officer shook his bald head.
You gotta follow protocol.
With that, Leah and I moved over to one of the booths with straight seats. They were too narrow for us to lay on together, so the blonde woman laid down in the seat across from me, where she could shoot me playful smiles and goo-goo eyes as we looked at each other underneath the table. Before long, though, the Sandman took over, and I drifted off to sleep. The next thing I knew, I heard the sound of Janine whispering in my ear.
Hey,
the redhead said in a hushed voice.
Carter, wake up.
I grumbled as I rolled over and rubbed my eyes.
Hey there, pretty lady. What's up?
Becca and Valerie are here,
Janine said with a smirk.
Ada's out there talking to them, but apparently they're chomping at the bit to get in here and start learning about their roles.
I'd love to learn about their roles, too, I joked as I sat up and stretched.
Fuck, are they here already?
Leah whined, and then the frog woman slowly pulled herself up to her feet.
I completely slept through my alarm.
I glanced over at the digital, legal drinking age clock on the wall and saw that it read 12:15.
Ah, shit, we must have been really tired.
As I stood up and proceeded to crack my back, Janine just watched me with an amused expression.
Did you guys sleep well? Because Naomi says you guys were up pretty much all night.
We were. I nodded, and then I looked over to the spot where the witch had been sleeping, and she was gone. Wait, where did...
Don't worry, she's in your office. Studying the spellbook, we both figured she didn't need to be here for the orientation. Damn, Naomi's study habits are gonna make us look bad, huh, Janine? Nobody can outstudy me.
The redhead held her head high and smirked.
If studying were an Olympic sport, I'd take home the gold every time.
I think that would give curling a run for its money in terms of most boring event. I joked to the woman, and she just shot me a frown. Suddenly, the back door of the lounge popped open, and in walked Ada and two other figures. The first one was a woman with shoulder-length, platinum-blonde hair, parted to the left, with hazel eyes framed by purple eyeshadow so vibrant I could see it all the way across the room. She wore a light blue blazer on her top half, though underneath she had a pretty low-cut black top, with a gold necklace that rested just above her cleavage line. On her lower half, she wore a blue miniskirt, paired with a set of black high heels.
Becca.
Valerie walked next to Ada, and the mocha-skinned brunette's jade eyes darted all around the lounge as she took in her environment. Her outfit was a bit more business casual than Becca's, as Valerie simply wore a black, long-sleeved shirt tucked into an olive-colored, knee-length skirt. A pair of black flats and sapphire earrings completed her look, but she still looked like a fucking $1 million. The skirt and shirt hugged each and every curve of Valerie's body, and it took every ounce of my strength to keep my erection from popping up as I watched her plump breasts jiggle with each step she took. Both of them were just as hot as Leah.
"There's the boss man,"
Becca declared when she saw me.
"And my bestie."
Leah and Becca both raised their hands up in the air and let out happy squeals as they ran toward each other. The two women continued to make joyful noises as they hugged, all while Valerie stood there and watched with an amused expression on her face.
"Hello, Carter,"
Valerie finally said as she looked over at me, and then her eyes looked me up and down.
Wait a minute. Oh my god, we overdressed, didn't we?"
No, I shook my head. "It's just that, we do casual Fridays here. I should have told you that before."
"Oh."
She chuckled as she pulled a strand of brown hair back behind her ears.
"That makes sense.
I was just telling Becca and Valerie here all about the work culture at Cincy's Jewel,"
Ada said with a smile.
"About how we're all a family here. A very, very happy family, and how we always take care of each other.
And hopefully how we're all competent at what we do,"
Janine added.
"And how our team is like a well-oiled machine, with each of us fulfilling a different role, but working together as one.
Well lubricated, for sure."
Yeah, she definitely hadn't talked about that at all.
I actually wanted to talk to you about that,"
Valerie noted, as she crossed her arms over her busty chest.
"What exactly will our roles be here? Like, are we freelancers, employees of the lounge, contractors on an as-needed basis?"
"Well," I began, as I placed my hands on my hips. "As Leah here probably told you, both of you guys have skills that are sorely lacking in our team right now. Becca, you have that supercomputer brain of yours that can hopefully help us sort out our finances."
"Oh, please,"
Ada implored as she clasped her hands under her chin.
"I'm terrible with money."
"Don't you own a majorly successful business?"
Becca asked with a raised eyebrow.
"Two of them now?"
"Well, yes,"
the succubus said with a snort.
"But that's just because I have the market cornered. I may have a lot of money, but I have no fucking clue what I'm doing with it half the time."
"Yeah,"
Becca cringed.
"That's probably gonna have to change. Where can I see your books?"
"The books are in Carter's office."
No, they aren't. I thought you had the books."
"Isn't that what your bookshelf is for?"
"No, Ada. The accounting books? Not like books you read for enjoyment?"
"Accounting books?"
Ada raised an eyebrow.
"Oh boy,"
Becca said as she winced.
"I guess we're further behind than I originally thought. Hey, look on the bright side,"
Leah teased.
"At least you know you'll have job security." "You can say that again."
As for you, Valerie," I said, as I looked at the second woman, "you're going to be our head of marketing, since you've got the storytelling skills and all."
I mean, if you say so,"
Valerie said with a shrug.
"I'm not 100% sure my creative writing skills are gonna help with that, but a job's a job."
"Marketing is just telling the story of a product," I explained to the brunette woman. "I know you're gonna kick ass doing it, which is why I'm gonna task you first with coming up with a commercial for this place. Any medium and any story you want to tell."
"Ooh."
Valerie's eyes lit up.
"I could do a commercial where a poor college kid is looking for a fun night out, or one where we go into your backstory and explain how you went from a simple man to the owner of a freaking lounge in a matter of months. The possibilities are endless."
"See?" I smirked. "That's why I hired you."
"Before we get into anything else, loves,"
Ada interrupted,
"we need to talk contracts, and I need to walk you through a few packets of paperwork. Shall we reconvene in the back room?"
"Fine by me."
Becca nodded, and then she turned and shot me a smile.
"Bye, Carter. I can't wait to see you every single day."
"The feeling's mutual," I promised. Ada started to lead the two women back to the rear doors when I suddenly heard a loud thud on a nearby window. My heart raced as I flipped around to see if it was one of our enemies, but then it slowed back down when I saw who it actually was.
"Ouch!"
A bright red cardinal grumbled as it hovered on the other side of the window.
"I thought that was open."
"Oh, poor thing,"
Becca gasped.
"Duh. Should have seen the window there."
"It's a bird, Valerie. They don't know any better."
"It's all right, guys," I said as I shooed them away. "I'll go out and make sure it's okay." The two women followed Ada back to the rear door of Cincy's Jewel, all while Leah, Janine, and I exchanged confused glances.
"I have some news for you, friend,"
the bird said from behind the glass.
"Pretty important stuff."
"Is that the same cardinal from the park? Oh, how cute!"
"What's up?" I asked as I walked closer to the window. "Mind the glass there."
"I see it now,"
the cardinal said.
"You wanted me to report if we'd seen any of those weirdos in red walking around, right?"
"Yes," I said as my fists clenched. "Did you see them?" Were the OLG already planning to launch another assault against Cincy's Jewel? Even though I knew they couldn't touch us in here, the mere thought of them coming anywhere near my place of business made me boil with rage.
"I didn't,"
the Redbird explained.
"But one of the seagulls did. He told me there were a bunch of them walking around that one place with all the big rectangles."
"The shipping yard," I nodded, as a smirk spread across my face. "Did they have anybody else with them?"
"A bunch of wrinkly old women,"
the cardinal continued.
"Dressed in the skin of cows, but red."
Red leather. The Sisters of the New Moon. "This is huge, my friend." I smiled at the bird. "Thank you so much for letting me know."
Yeah.
The little red guy grunted.
"Just put out some extra bird seed up on your roof and we'll call it even."
"Deal." I nodded, and then the bird let out a tweet before he zipped off and out of sight.
"What was that about?"
Leah asked with a tilt of her head. "Our animal reconnaissance idea finally paid off," I said as I looked back and forth between the two women. "I think I know where the Sisters of the New Moon are meeting tonight."